Good morning to Will West. He's a co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML. Will, hope you've had a great week, and as always, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Johnny. I appreciate it, man.
All right, so when we look at this matchup, I can't help but just go back to how special this series, you know, what it meant to college football, not only in the SEC, but also in the national landscape. You know, all those glory years of just, you know, I mean, we're talking about not only, you know, there were 14 years from 85 to 02 where both teams were ranked in the top 15. Nine matchups where both teams were ranked in the top 10. Four matchups where both teams ranked in the top five. You know, it's been a while since we've had it where both teams ranked in the top 10, and that was 2005. Since then, Tennessee has lost seven straight in Gainesville. They're 1-13 against the Gators since 2005. You know, you start looking at streaks like that, the losing streak against Alabama, a three-game losing streak to Vanderbilt. You know, here's Tennessee in a year that we're celebrating 150 years of college football. You know, Tennessee is one of the 15th best programs in the history of college football. But, you know, it comes down to the point, eventually they have to start acting like it again, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, and really that's been a lot of the conversation around here in whispers the last few weeks of maybe this isn't just a down cycle, maybe this is what Tennessee is right now. And I would still say Tennessee has all of the resources to be a top 15 job. Tennessee should be a top 15 job. The problem is that your boosters keep hiring bad coaches and guys that have no business having a job like the Tennessee job. And with Jeremy Pruitt, he at least was a good enough from an X's and O's standpoint coach that you would hire him, that I could at least see them hiring him. It just seemed like it was maybe 2 to 4 years earlier that you would have liked to have let him have this type of job. And look, right now it's not going well. I mean, look, we had this conversation where, because there's still, to most Tennessee fans, older Tennessee fans consider Alabama the biggest rival. The majority of Tennessee fans consider Florida the biggest rival. And one thing that I, you know, had to kind of have a reality check with Tennessee fans is, look, that's not, Vanderbilt's your biggest rival right now, and you're behind in that rivalry. You're owned in that rivalry right now, but your biggest rival is not Florida. Florida doesn't consider Tennessee. Like, you heard LaMichael Pirine, what he had to say at SEC Media Days. It's just another game. Kentucky's a bigger rivalry right now for Florida than Tennessee is, and that's just the reality of where the Vols are right now. Until they start winning some games, nothing's going to change.
I go back to, and we've had this discussion before, Will, you know, the fact that, first of all, it starts when you start slicing up the SEC pie, all the schools are getting 40-plus million. When you think about all the season ticket holders, all the marginal donors that are out there that support Tennessee football and athletics and the university itself, you know, how much would it impact the school and the programs if somebody had the guts to stand up and say, hey, the seven guys, we don't need you. You know, we want your support, but that's all we want. We want your money, allow us to do our jobs, but you don't get to constantly put your input in there without taking responsibility and without any accountability of all the things that go wrong with the programs.
See, and the unfortunate part is right now you're so far behind in buyouts, the Tennessee's athletics department's in the red, even with all this money coming in, that they have to have the money from those guys to be able to pay these buyouts. And they had to go do have a special meeting with boosters to get the money they needed for Rick Barnes, because you're still paying Butch Jones and his staff, and you're paying Jeremy Pruitt. It's a really unfortunate situation. And you have a couple of boosters in Tennessee that are like that. They cut their check, they get their, you know, they get their name on a wall somewhere, and they get their skybox booth, and they move along. But for the majority of these guys, a lot of it too is this: is you have this power struggle between really two boosters and the rest of, you know, the other five boosters, and back and forth those boosters get to make the decision, and they've all failed in their decision making process. So every time one of those groups of boosters fails, the other group points the finger at them and says, "See, this is why you don't need to have this. We're taking this over." And then they take it over and fail. And this is the back and forth that you get. Or you end up in a situation like Derek Dooley, where you just split the play. You know, you keep having to make allowances for what each booster wants, and then once you find someone you can all compromise on, that coach has a 4-8 record and he has no business being a head coach at the University of Tennessee. So it's an ugly situation. They can't afford to not have these boosters. And these boosters do a lot to, like, if there's a check that needs to be cut, they cut it, right? Like, they're financially, they're great boosters. They just, and a lot of them are former football players. They just think the game's still what it was in the 1950s and 60s, and they don't really pay enough attention to the world of college football, so a lot of it's just personalities, what they try to pick a coach on, and it has failed repeatedly right now. I mean, I've been doing this 12 years, Johnny. We're on coach number 5 at the University of Tennessee's football program in the 12 years that I've been doing this, and so far that coach is statistically the worst coach in the history of Tennessee football so far. So this is how well it's gone the last 12 years.
You know, I go back with this opportunity today for Tennessee. You know, you have to go back 13 years, 14 seasons since the last time Tennessee has notched a win over a top 10 team. That's when they beat Georgia back in 2006 in Athens. Look, there's something about, you know, Jeremy Pruitt in these situations. I mean, did anybody think last year Tennessee was going to be able to go on the road and beat a ranked Auburn team? No. I thought they played well against Georgia last year as well. I bring it up because, once again, we're talking about opportunities. Now, how about this? If you told the football team that Kyle Trask, the quarterback for the Gators, who came in relief and led that comeback for the Gators last Saturday night in Lexington, he's making his first start, get this, since his freshman year in high school. That's how far back you have to go the last time Kyle Trask has started a game. He shared duties, and he saw a lot of action in high school with Eric King, but injuries has been a major factor of Kyle Trask. You know, he was redshirted in 2016. He was injured in 2017. He appeared in 4 games last year as a backup quarterback, but, oh, get this, a foot injury hurt him the remainder of the season. So here's a guy that, when healthy, I mean, people brag about him. I was talking to Pat Dooley earlier this morning in a conversation talking about Kyle Trask, and he was basically just talking about how everybody has been raving about this individual and just looking forward to this opportunity. Well, he gets it today, kicking off just after 11.
And there are a lot of little intangible things like that that kind of go with smaller things that look like they could go in Tennessee's favor. Hard-fought game against Kentucky last week that Florida had, and they turn around with a noon kickoff at home. And home teams a lot of times just struggle to kind of be motivated during noon kickoffs, especially if they're a couple touchdown favorite or something like that. Trask is stepping in for Felipe Franks, and it's his first start since he was a freshman in high school. The problem for me, though, in picking this, and so what we've seen is, like, since the end of the Chattanooga game, it was like, well, we have no chance against Florida, is what everybody said here. So now it's become, well, I think we can win this game because of Trask and because of all of these other things. And I keep having to point out to people, a lot of times football's won at the line of scrimmage, and Florida's offensive line is a problem right now. Like, they have problems there. Tennessee does not have the defensive line to be able to exploit that. Tennessee beat Auburn last year because their pass rush was able to get to Jared Stidham, and he just threw 3 balls up for grabs that he had no business throwing up there. I don't know if it's a different defensive line now, and I don't know that Tennessee has a pass rusher that can really disrupt anything that Florida has on their offensive line. And then if you look at the other side, the strength of Florida defensively is going to be that front and going to be the blitzing that's coming with that defense. Can Tennessee's offensive line handle that? I mean, their Achilles heel has been pass blocking right now. And to go ahead and play younger guys, they're taking away their best run blocker in Marcus Tatum. So there's just not a lot quantifiably I can point to that says Tennessee is going to win this football game. Can they? Yes, but you would need an Auburn-like situation or a Kentucky-like situation last year where you're like +2, +3, +4 in the turnover margin, I think, for Tennessee to need to have the opportunity to win this game.
I will say this. If Tennessee is not able to pull off the upset today, it may be a month. You get the bye week next week, and then Tennessee, when you look at the month of October, hosting Georgia, hosting Mississippi State, on the road against Alabama before wrapping up the month of October at home against South Carolina. Over the next 5 games, it's going to be tough to even get one victory during that stretch.
And if not, if you don't, like that, that's kind of what we've talked about a lot this week too, especially towards the end of the week. Look, if you win this game, or at least can keep it close, maybe you can, you know, keep the wheels on the wagon, and maybe you can knock out Mississippi State or South Carolina and salvage a 5-7 season at the end of the year. If you don't, and you lose this game, you lose to Georgia, you lose to Mississippi State, you lose to Bama, you lose to South Carolina, are the wheels on this wagon at UAB? I mean, let's be very real. It's already desperation enough that Tennessee is playing a guy that was arrested for domestic assault before his court date, right, coming up. Bryce Thompson's going to play if he's traveling, most likely. And because you just don't travel, take a travel roster spot with only 70 guys if you don't intend to play him.
So, how did that, by the way, register when that came out, that he's actually making the trip and he's dressed and he was working with the first team players this week?
So I'll just say it. Like, the decent people here are pretty appalled by it. And I think the main thing is, okay, Jeremy Pruitt owns his behavior from now on, right? If anything he does, it's not about him anymore. It's about Jeremy Pruitt. You have that group of fans that don't care, just win, baby, and they don't care if you're Baylor or the U or whatever. And so you have that group of fans that are saying, just play the guy. That's what's going on. Tennessee is telling people, hey, we've gotten some word behind the scenes that the charges are going to be dropped, or it's going to end up just being not a big deal. I do still look at this and say, this is like strike number four for this kid, right? And so I just hope, because he clearly has legitimate mental health issues. Tennessee has an opportunity here to try to change this kid's life. If you're going to keep him on the team, make him jump through hoops, make him go through some sort of type of treatments to make sure he can get better, because he clearly has big-time problems. And they can do that. If not, and they pass him along, Antonio Brown, right? If you continue to pass guys along that have these types of behavioral issues, they're just going to do it again, and it's going to humiliate you and blow up in your face. So I hope there's an adult on Tennessee's campus that's capable, willing, and has the integrity to actually try to help change this kid's life if you are going to keep him here. And it's not just big-time football throwing pretty good college football player out there just because you need to win right now desperately, because Bryce Thompson's not going to be the difference in you winning or losing this game.
Hey, we appreciate you as always, Will. If you're not already doing so, you need to follow Will on Twitter, at Will West, WNML, co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML. As always, it's a pleasure. Hope you have a great football weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks a lot, John.